We're going to go way back to the book of Exodus. So if you do have your Bibles, we're going to go back to Exodus. We're going to go back to the land of Egypt. Land of gods and idols and sinful things. We're going back to Exodus chapter 13. We'll start there tonight and just want to bring you to a place that God had met Moses in the burning bush. He spoke from there and told Moses, I want you to go and get my people and take them to a land of we want to call the promised land or the land of milk and honey to get them out of this bondage of slavery. God has heard some of them prayers there. He wants the people to be free. And we see that Moses went and there was all these miracles that Moses was able to do through God did those through Moses and Aaron being by his side. So these people witnessed some amazing miracles. And now the last miracle of the firstborn of each family there of Egypt had been put, the angel of death came and that the eldest born was dead in the morning. And so there was a cry throughout the night. And then finally, the Pharaoh lets the people go. And so we're going to pick it up from letting the people go. And so now they are on their march. God had got the Egyptians to give them gold and all kinds of stuff and all the trinkets and all the things they needed. So they didn't go out empty-handed. They went out with all the things of Egypt. And God had that done and moved on the hearts of the Egyptians. And they gave their stuff to them and said, go, get out of here. They left. And so what we see is the first steps of God's people leaving the life of slavery. Now, there are some of us that feel like we might be in a life of slavery. These people did not know anything else. They were born into slavery. They were under the bondage and the whips and the chains of the Egyptians. They have heard of God, and they tried to worship God, but many of them saw the gods of Anubis or some of the other Isis and all these other gods and goddesses and all the idols worshiping that the Egyptians did, and they were infiltrated with all that stuff as well. They didn't know how to fight. They just knew how to build things and make bricks. And so now they are going to go out as a large, large group of people. It's been estimated that there could have been 1 million people in this move. That's a lot of people. And so the God is moving them out with the leadership of Moses and Aaron, and they're moving forward. Now I want to share some scriptures with you tonight that's going to show you that God doesn't do things the way we do, what we think is best. Okay, so look over your Bibles in Exodus chapter 13. In verse 17, it says, when the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. And the Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. They had the weapons. They were armed for battle. They didn't know how to fight. They were brickmakers. They were slaves. If they got whipped, they were not to retaliate. They were to just take the beating and go on. But God says this. He says, there is a shorter way, but God did not choose the shorter way for them to go to the promised land to be the total free. God wants them free, but not just free physically, but to be free spiritually. Then not just free spiritually and physically, but to get their minds free. Because all they knew they were slaves. All they knew that they were under the bondage of the Egyptians. Of all the junk that the Egyptians had, they were under that bondage. We'll see that stuff keeps coming up anyway. Some people won't let it go. So we see here that God doesn't always lead us by the shortest route. He doesn't always use the easy way. That's what we want. We want to go from A to B in the shortest, fastest direction. We want to use that as the easiest route. But God sometimes uses the longer way. Sometimes he uses the longest way because there's lessons that we need to learn. God's ways are not always good. We're not always going to come up in that God's ways and understanding it. But God says if they go this way, they're going to see the enemy stand in front of them. This enemy knows how to fight. But there's some things they need to learn. They need to learn how to trust me. They need to learn how to fight. They need a whole lot of things. These people were free, but they were weak in every other way. God was leading them. But we see here, he chooses to go a different route. He chooses not to take them to the easy way. When we leave a life of sin, we want God to come over and just wrap his arms around us, and he does. But we want to be free of everything in that one moment. We want to go from this place of the land of Egypt, pain, suffering, addiction, whatever it may be, and we want to go all the way over here to this awesome, strong, solid man, woman of God. And it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. You may get rid of it, but you got to learn a lot. There's some lessons you got to learn on the journey. And God's not going to take you from here and make you that in one day. Also, we turn into verse 20. It says, after verse 20 of chapter 13. After leaving Succoth, they encamped in Etham on the edge of the desert. By day now, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day and night. Neither the pillar or the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, left its place in front of the people. If God's calling you out of a lifestyle, he's going to lead you out of that lifestyle. He's not going to leave you there, but he's leading you out of that lifestyle. And he's bringing these people, and he said, I'm going to lead you. In the day, I'll be the cloud. I'll be the cloud. So basically, it tells us we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to keep our eyes fixed on the things of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to be looking at the cloud, keeping our eyes focused on the Lord. And at night, he'd use a fiery flame. An angel of a fiery flame, and the people would follow him so that everybody would see that there's a mass of people. And these people are moving from a land that they only knew, the land of Egypt. They've never been out of town. They've never been out of country. They're moving out. And what we see here now is God is leading them. And if God is leading you out, whether it's through the daytime when things look good or when things are not so good in the night, he will lead you because God leads. God leads. There's no greater leader than God himself. God will not only just lead you, but he will also watch your back. God's got your back. He's got your sides. He's there when you're following him. When you are following him, he is there. He will protect you and keep you safe. If he calls you out of it, he's going to keep you safe. There's a reason he calls you out of a lifestyle. Because in that old lifestyle, you bet you really were gambling your life away. Because death is not prejudice. It comes to all. And he's leading them out. And God is leading them by fire and by a cloud. He's doing those things. And then God tells them, I want you to go this way, I want you to go that way. And he's directing them and showing wherever and all the places he needs for them to go. And while they were doing that, God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. And the Pharaoh decides, you know what? I'll let them go, but I'm going to go get them. I'm going to take them out. I'm going to go after them. That's what I'm going to do. So he loads up all of his chariot men. He gets up all of his soldiers, and they start marching, and they're going. They're going for one thing, destroy and destruction. The dark side doesn't care who you are. If you leave the darkness, if you leave the dark side of the world, if you leave Egypt, the sinful lifestyle, it will come after you. It will come after you. It will come after you in many ways. It's coming after you to bring you back. And God is taking you away from it. God is taking you away from it. So in Exodus 14, he comes up to verse 10. He says, as Pharaoh approached the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. There is a fear now that comes upon the people. And so they were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, oh my. And so they're getting ready to say some things. Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us up to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in this desert. I want to tell you, if you're coming out of Egypt, there's going to be obstacles, plain and simple. Even as a Christian, there's going to be obstacles in front of you. This is why you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. That darkness, that old stuff from the past, that stuff that's in front of you that's still chasing you, it's going to chase you for a while. And it's going to chase you, and God's got you doing all kinds of maneuvers, all kinds of maneuvers. And you'll think it's always to outwit them. No, really, it's to follow the ways of the Lord. He's testing you that if you're going to follow Him. God does not fear the darkness. We do. But the past is coming. These people knew. The whips and chains, those people that were our masters are coming after us. They are fearful. If a slave leaves and escapes, they find him, they put him to death. And so they're all terrified. They're scared to death. But here's what happens. They're using things that we use today that makes us struggle in our walk with the Lord. Number one is they saw. When you see the enemy coming, they saw him, they began to fear. So they seen and then they feared. They feared what they saw. The enemy is coming. The old junk is coming after me. I'm trying to leave it, but it keeps following me. It follows me wherever I go. I can't escape it. But I want to tell you, God is leading you out. He didn't tell you. He didn't take the shortest route. He's taking the route that you're going to learn. And your faith is going to be tested. Also, they heard them. They heard them. So when you hear the enemy, you hear him coming. Now you begin to have, first of all, you're excited about it. Then all of a sudden you see them. Fear comes on you. And then when you hear it, then you start having doubt. You start doubting everything. Why did we go? Oh my gosh, we should have just stayed there. And there's always going to be those naysayer people. You can't do it. They're always going to be in the crowd. Okay? So when you see it, you start having fear, and when they hear it, they start having doubts, and all of a sudden they start thinking, oh my gosh, and you know what happens when you think? You make bad decisions. When your emotions start coming over you, you're going to make bad decisions. But this is exactly where God wants you to be. You're at a crossroads now. It's a test of your faith. Who are you going to choose? As Joshua said, choose this day whom you shall serve. For me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. There was a moment there before all of this happened. Actually, it's after this. I got that backwards, but it's after in the future. But what you see affects you. What you hear affects you. What you think. And what it is, you hear two voices. The world will, you hear the world and you hear the sinful, you hear the enemy, and it's trying to draw you away from God. So the world will draw you away from God's ways, but God's trying to draw you away from the world's ways. And you're in this tug of war here. And God's got your best interest in for you. But the enemy tells you he's got his best interest in for you. Okay? He turns around and he says, you don't need this stuff. You don't need to be here. Won't you just turn around and come home? Man, that sounds pretty good. Won't you just turn around and come home? Protect yourself. Nobody really cares for you. You don't need this headache. You don't need this heartache. This is too much work. Where's God at anyway? I thought he was going to lead you to that promised land thing. I thought he was going to free you. I thought he was going to help you through this problem. Where's he at anyway? Come on, come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go back. Let's go back. And the sad part of the story, many people go back. They go back. And they get out there a little bit and they taste freedom. But it ain't about tasting freedom. It's not about just living free, it's being free. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. The biggest liar that we know is ourselves. I'll do it tomorrow. But in these decisions right here, you can't do that. You cannot do that. There's days that you have to make a decision. So you stand there in the crossroads. We got a sea before us because God brought us to this sea. I don't understand it. I can't go forward because we'll drown. I can't go backwards because the enemy is there. Then Moses answered the people. He said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you shall see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." Most people will not stand still. They will run at the look of the enemy. They will run back. The enemy will throw these things out to them, promises, all that stuff, but it will never pay the way that we think. And he said, "God will bring you deliverance. And so the Egyptians will see you today, but you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And that's those moments where we struggle, where we just feel, is this all I got to do is pray? Yes, pray and give the Lord an opportunity to do it. Verse 15, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying out to me?'" Now, there's a piece there that I think that Moses has already been a part of doing some amazing, you know, turning the Nile into red and the little blood and the flies and the frogs and death and all those things, the locusts, all the miracles and all those things. The staff turns into a serpent and it swallows up all the other serpent snakes and all those things. And there's a part there, it's like God says, "You know, Moses, you know, you've seen it, take care of business." He said, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. And raise your staff and stretch it out over the hand." So he's telling the people to move on. There's a faith now. There's going to always be that step of faith where you go, okay, here it is. It's in front of me. There's a sea here. There's an enemy behind me. God's telling me to step forward. I got to step forward. And I truly believe they were walking toward that sea before it was split. There's got to be a faith moment in your life where you say, "I am now going to follow God. I'm now going to trust God in my decisions, and that's what I'm going to do." And so he stretches out the staff and begins to see the water part as a wall for the right, a wall to the left, and the ground begins. But I want to tell you, as you stand there at that crossroads, you stand there at that water, and you stand there at that enemy making your decision, Moses said you need to stand firm. What he's saying is you, as it says in Isaiah 7:9, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand. If you don't stand in your faith, you're not going to stand. You're going to fall. As a believer, you are going to fall. That's the testing part. Who do you trust with your problems? Who do you trust with your decisions? Who do you trust as God's leading you out of these things? I'm going to read a part here of David, just in Psalms chapter 55. And he says this in verse 16. And David's got enemies all around him all the time. He says, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me evening, morning, and noon. I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." This is the man who calls on God in the morning, and at noontime, and at nighttime. This is the man who knows God. This is a different man than what was coming out of Egypt. This is a man who is a warrior for God. This is a man who's struggling in some things, but he's got enemies attacking him. And he says, this is what he said, "I call to God." He's got experiences already from going that long route. Not just from, oh, God anointed him and now he's going to be king. No, he had to run from Saul and all kinds of things, learning how to be a leader, learning how to fall on God. Then he says, verse 6, he says, "He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me. Even though many oppose me, God who is enthroned forever will hear them and afflict them. Men who never change their ways have no fear of God." And this is what he's saying. He fears God, but that's why he's calling out to God. And verse 22, he says, "But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption." He's prophesying. My enemy's going down. Even they're bigger than me, but they're not bigger than God. I'm gonna have victory in this thing. He says, "But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half of their days." But he says, "But as for me, I trust in you." That's how he ends the whole chapter. "But as for me, not trusting you." Now this is a man who's been at the crossroads several times. Several times. Several times. So they begin to travel, to walk. The The Bible tells that God provided a great wind, and the wind went through the water, the wet land, and between the walls of the water, and he dried up that land for the Israelites, and they're marching on, and they're going through, and they're mad, and they are watching this miracle right in front of them. God has made a way. And I'm going to tell you, God can part anything. He can part anything. You just got to trust him, walk through. And as he does that, the enemy is still pretty gutsy. The enemy is still pretty gutsy, and the enemy will follow. He will follow. He will follow until he knows you're done looking back. And so as they do that, the enemy is following them now with their chariots and all that. And the Bible says that God caused a chaos. Now also he has some night, he put some space in between them, some darkness, some things like that. But they're traveling now. The enemy's now traveling also between the walls of the Red Sea. Now I know this, horses are faster than people. One time we see their prophet outran a chariot. But that was because God come up on him and he ran so fast. But there's a whole bunch of people. God chose not to do it that way. So he caused the chaos. And the Bible says that the chariot wheels were beginning to break apart and getting stuck. And they were all messing up. And then the Bible says that some of the Egyptians said, we need to turn around. The Lord God is working for the Israelites. And they begin to turn around, and some of them are trying to get back, and they're trying to get out. And then once the Israelites get to the other side, Moses is standing there and uses the staff, and the waters begin to come down. And the enemy is being swallowed up by the sea. And the scripture tells us that later on, bodies of them individual soldiers were starting to come up on the seashore with no strength, but they were all dead. They've all drowned. But it says in verse 29, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground. God will make your path available. If he sets a path for you, he will make it available for you to be able to walk to it and walk through it and walk on it. He's got something he wants to do. He'll make the way. And with a wall of water on the right and on their left, that day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And the Israel saw Egypt lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in the Moses, his servant. I want to tell you, this was a moment for these people. They saw the miracles that happened in Egypt and the things that went against them. But it's one thing watching what other people are going through. But when it happens to you, you know that you are now going to have to experience your own faith test. And so what we see here, now God's going to make a way. He made a way, and the enemy wants to kill you because you're leaving. The enemy wants to kill you because you're leaving. It's because you're leaving him. You're leaving his side. You're walking away from that sinful Egypt in your life. He wants, and so God wants to destroy the enemy. But it only happens when you have faith in God. You must have faith in God. And God protects us when we walk away from the darkness and walk to him. But if you walk back, there is no protection. You're walking away from God. You need to walk toward the things of God. You need to follow the plan that he has. When you follow God and you want to have victory in your life, he'll give you. What these Egyptians, just getting out of Egypt, there's victory over your sins now. There's victory over your bad habits and over your negative thinking. Victory over whatever enemy is in your life. You have victory over your past and victory over your obstacles. Victory in the presence. And it's time to stand over your enemy now. So here's the moment. Back in slavery, everybody's over you. Like I said earlier, everybody's over you. But once they got on the other side of that shore, they were a different people. The enemy that they knew was no longer their enemy. They were done. When you follow God, He will stomp on your enemy and put it to rest. But you got to go His way. He will stomp it out. He will stomp it out. And you can experience miracles in your life. Believe me, He's still in the miracle business today. He is still in the miracle business today, but you've got to follow Him. Not go back to the voices that are calling you, come back to do this. Come back and be a part of this. They're not going to take care of you. So now these Israelites have experienced this great thing. They are no longer slaves. They're no longer slaves. They have to learn how to be free. They need to learn how to follow God. But the chains and the shackles of bondage needed to be broken first. Physically, they needed to be broken. Spiritually, they need to be broken. And God can do that. And now the Israelites have what we call a testimony. And what we see in the next chapter, we won't go, but chapter 15, it is a song, a testimony turned into a song by Miriam. And so we need to get to the place where our enemy is not standing over us, but that we are standing over our enemy now. And you can only do that through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit. And the release that Jesus is releasing you from that lifestyle. Only through Him can you have that. There is no other way. Only through Him. And they were able to look back and go, I looked at the dead bodies. They saw one last look. They were looking down on their enemy. And now it's a new day. Now we trust God. We trust this man Moses. We're going to go forward. And we're going to take another step toward the promised land. And because of the promised land, God didn't say He was going to take him to the direct route, because now there was going to be more problems coming up. Because life is hard. Life is hard. And the grumblers will start grumbling again. But we take this victory, and it strengthens many of the people. It strengthens many of the people. But the problem is, some people want to run away and go back to that old lifestyle. God takes them through the deserts and through the mountains for a purpose. He first is going to show them that they need physical, that there's a physical need. And they begin to complain about some things, but God gives them water through a rock. And He does those things. He gives them manna from, He gets food from, they get food from heaven. Manna, and God has never done that ever any other time that we see in Scripture, where He drops food from the table of heaven. And they didn't deserve it, but God loved them so much. They kept walking toward it, to the promised land. But you can't get there until you face your obstacles. Physically, they were free from the bondage. Now, when we go later on, if we can get there, we find out when they make all these other things, mentally, they haven't all the way got there. But many has. And my question tonight, as you stand in front of that wall of water and your enemy, and you're trying to be free, and your enemy is coming up behind you with all kinds of excuses for you to turn around and go back, what are you going to do? David says, I call on the Lord. That's what I do. And when you do, there's a fresh testimony right around the corner. And nothing is more encouraging for God's people than a fresh God testimony. But you can't live on everybody else's testimony. You've got to have some of your own. And in closing, I just want to say, faith defines who you and what you believe about God. And your faith defines you, what you believe. God is awesome. and to experience His awesomeness, you got to walk with an awesome God. But God will not hold hands with you when you hold hands with the devil. He'll call you and He'll lead you. You walk with Him enough, He'll smack that dark hand off of you. But you got to have faith in Him. You've got to have faith in Him. Whatever obstacle is in front of you is not too big for God. God can part it. And then you got to walk through it. So tonight we're going to have an opportunity to pray about that obstacle in our life. Because nobody wants to get you through it more than God Himself. There's no one on this earth in a person wise, hopefully, than you wanting to get through it yourself. But I will tell you also, there's no one that wants you to get back to that junk in your life than the darkness Himself. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give you an opportunity tonight. That's what we're doing.